This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, here with Bill Goldberg. How are you?
Well, the garage saga continues. I had four doors repainted this morning because of rust accumulating on them, and have a number of cracks with the concrete. And yes, so it's another day at Goldberg.
It's another day. But, you know, with the, you got to go through at least one full year of weather, like the Texas weather, and it's got to freeze and it's got to be 110 degrees. And then, you know, it's the hail, and then it rained, and then it stops, and then it's hot again. Like, you got to go through this barrage of nature before you can figure out all the bugs on.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the next big rain. So
yeah, right. Yeah, because you don't know like what's going to leak, what's going to flood, where's the water draining out, and you know, like when in Adam's old neighborhood, La Cañada, there was flooding in front of it. Whenever it rained, it would flood in front of his house. So he just went out there and he just like built a dam and it flowed the water to the drain, and it totally worked. The neighbor's like, oh, thanks so much. My driveway's not flooding anymore. But the city was pissed, and the city was like sending him notices like, you got to take that out. He's like, why? I fixed the problem. And I know he's told the story a million times, but they were like, yeah, yeah, but it has to go through us and it has to be through an engineer. And he's like, I knew you'd say that. I hired an engineer. And he goes, here's the engineer that wrote off on my fix. And they go, but it wasn't one of our engineers. And when he was selling his house, they were so pissed. They were like, we won't let you basically close on the sale of your house until that thing is smashed out. And he's like, so you want me to sell the house and tell them, good luck, it's going to flood, or fix the problem and have that house and the neighbors all go, thank goodness, because you're not flooding the streets. And they were so pissed. And I don't really remember what the result was. I was so sure he didn't want to take that goddamn thing out, but or lose the battle. I think he found some workaround, and obviously he sold the house and has moved since then. But I don't know that he took it out. And if they, maybe the city took it out, but it was
not happen in the state of Texas.
It's not going to happen there. But the point is yes, now that it's all done, you need to literally like walk around the property in the rain and see where water's going and what's leaking and kind of what's going on. You're going to have to do it in real time while it's raining. But yeah, you get there. I don't know if you saw this this news piece. I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Just, apparently, this guy in LA, they called the Tesla road rage guy for 10 years now. This guy has been driving around his Tesla, and any kind of like road rage, like he just gets mad. Like he's just stops in the middle of the lane and comes up behind, you know, if you're behind him, and he'll just stop and block you and come out and punch your car and kick and hit it with a pipe or a bat or anything. And for years, people have been scared out of their mind. He's statistically, what it sounds like is he's mostly attacked women in their cars.
What a pussy.
And I know, right? Like, what a piece of shit. And he's been caught on cameras a lot. Like, you know, now it's so much easier to just go to any aftermarket company, Alpine or something like that, and get the, you know, dash cams and stuff, which, by the way, another reason, like, you don't even need to be an Uber driver. It's not the worst thing in the world to have a dash cam, especially if you live in an area like LA where there's so many people like this. Well, this guy finally, there's the video clip of him getting out of his car and beating on someone's car, and they got scared. They're trying to drive away. He finally got caught. And
I can't believe he didn't pull the wrong dude over. I can't believe
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In LA, I cannot believe that he didn't pull someone over that didn't kill the guy.
Right. And I'm not just talking about like a big guy going out to throw a punch, like just anyone with just a weapon in the car. Just like how, after a decade, does he not have bullet holes in the side of his Tesla? Broken
again,
windshield.
I will again say that that would never happen in Texas.
I would agree with you 100%. But whatever's going on with this guy, why this guy is just so imbalanced. He finally got caught. I guess all these videos caught. By the way, all the dash cam videos of this guy attacking people, the people that all got attacked, they're in like a group together. They're in like, I don't know, like a text chain or something. And finally got arrested.
Turned into a class action lawsuit.
Kind of, but he's going to jail for 5 years. But you're right. Why not take civil action now? Have some sort of class action lawsuit. He's going to have a little bit of money. He's got a Tesla. He's been driving Teslas for 10 years. And I'm looking at the, you know, whatever, the $80,000-$90,000 SUV he's driving, you know? So I don't know. I don't know. The story caught my eye because I was like, what a pain in the ass terrorizing people. We don't need that. But also a little bit of vindication going, good, catch this guy. This guy and give him jail time. Give him prison time.
When we lived out there, it's like the people dropping cinder blocks off of the, you know, overpass and stuff.
Right, right. That was a thing for a while. And now when you drive around on the freeways, there's fences up over the bridges. Cause and for a while people were like, oh yeah, when you come to LA, like you know, they put that there so people won't jump and try to kill themselves. And we go, it's not really just for that.
No,
it's for people throwing bricks and cinder blocks and stuff and, you know, shooting BB guns and windshields and just, I don't know what's going on. Sometimes
there's no repercussions in the world anymore. So people think they can get away with everything.
I was just going to say, I'm not quite sure what's going on with.
It's just going to continue until they're punished. That's just all.
Not sure what's going on. You're right. Mike Tyson says that all the time. He's like, not enough people get punched in the mouth.
Well, again, I'll revert back to when I lived in California and people cut you off and they give you the finger and they keep going and they think, okay, well, it's all good now. I just told a guy to fuck off, but I forget about it. Well, remember I wanted to have a one of those little guns that shot the arrow out that had a suction cup on it. And,
yeah.
You know, I could shoot, you know, a post or a business card for the Muay Thai gym. Good for one round at the Muay Thai gym, free, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no repercussions. There's no punishment for these people. Therefore, they continue to go on and on. And look at what's going on. I mean, I don't want to get into it, but it's a generational thing. It's a no repercussion thing. It's just what was it back in the day? Girls gone wild. This is people gone wild.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's the show Cops, but it just seems to happen more and more.
Until people get pulled out of their car and get the shit beat out of them, they're going to continue to do it.
I think Mike Tyson punched that guy in the plane, right? Like the YouTube guy. He was filming and he kept like leaning over to the back of his chair and talking to Mike. And Mike's like, just leave me alone. I just want to get on my flight. And he warned him like three times. He was like, you're going to get smacked. Like, stop doing this. Stop doing this. And he was filming it and he was poking the bear. Tyson punches him in the face. And then at least the guy was like, took the video and he's like, look, I got punched in the face by Mike Tyson. It's like, totally my fault. I was fucking with him the whole time. And they got punched.
He's like, he did it on purpose. And he took the punch because he knew that the prize would be worth more. Right.
I, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to get punched by Mike Tyson. I don't really want to get punched by anybody. It's not worth a YouTube video. There's other things I could do with my time to get annoy somebody to the point where they want to punch me in the face. But
sit and edit reels for 4 hours.
Yeah, I can sit and edit reels and YouTube videos and try to sell some Bravago. That's the plan. As we're here talking, there's a group up in Sonoma testing the Nissan Z Nismo. Now, we saw the Nismo, I don't know, like a month or so ago when they debuted it here in LA. We went out to the event. They gave us kind of a walk around of the car. And then I knew a driving event was going to be coming up soon. I wasn't able to make it. But the question was always going to be like, what's it going to cost? And I don't know that the embargo has been lifted yet on the price. I don't know what the price is. Whoever's at the event is probably getting the price. But the online forums are coming up with a number that they believe is accurate. And they are at $66,000 for that car. So I don't know. The Nismo seems cool. I like the Z. It's still kind of a, I like that it's kind of a traditional sports car, you know, manual transmission and naturally, I was going to say naturally aspirated, but now it's all turbo, but just a fun all around sports car. I want to say that the Z is something like $55,000 or something like that, depending on the option. So this definitely adds up. I think the entry level Z Sport is about $43,000. And then the mid level performance is, maybe $52,000. And then there's the Z Proto spec, which is, I believe, $55,000. And this would jump. Technically, it's $64,990 is what they're saying. But then there's the destination charge of $1,095. So $66,000. And the Nismo is 420 horsepower and 384 pound-feet of torque. So a slight little increase, 20 horsepower, 34 pound-feet of torque. Except I believe the Nismo is only automatic. The Z you can get in a manual, but the Nismo may only be an automatic because they're trying to get the quick shifts and the whole thing. Honestly, I probably would have just done it with the manual transmission. I think we're fine with cars, especially sports cars, going, you can have the manual transmission, even if it's not as fast as the paddle shift or the automatic or the PDK or whatever. I think we're all kind of like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the numbers don't make that much difference compared to the driving experience.
Right. Yeah. If you get in a car like that, you want it to be fun. And if you can get it with a manual transmission, I would go with a manual transmission. I mean, look at what Porsche has done. And, you can get a Turbo S with the PDK and it's fast as shit. But when you get into like a GT3 and stuff, I don't know what the total sales numbers are, but how many people are opting for the manual transmission on the fun, sportier versions? If you go buy a 911, I get it. People drive that daily all the time. And a lot of people opt for the automatic. But there are enough enthusiasts out there for Porsche to keep investing in automatic transmission.
The GT3 was built to be a manual, period.
I think so, right? I think so. I think a Boxster, I think a Cayman should be manual, right? But look, Ford Mustang's still available with a manual transmission. Except for the new, I don't think that new GTD. I don't think that GTD supercar has a manual. I think it's because of the transaxle that Tremec helped develop. I think Tremec builds the transaxle for it. And I just think the way the whole layout is, I don't think they can get it to do manual. You could do a transaxle. You can do that setup as a manual for sure, right? Because you've got Corvettes and stuff like that. But I think the way they built this car, it wasn't set up for manual because none of the racing cars do. And this is sort of the homologated racing car, but the EcoBoost, the GTs, the Dark Horse, all manual. So
before we leave the Nismo far behind, a strange but true factoid, I had a 300ZX at the University of Georgia. As
what, like what year?
God almighty. I want to say, '86, something like 300ZX, like a 2+2.
Yeah.
I can't remember the year, but it quite obviously had to be. I mean, this was 87. So yeah, it had to be like an 85.
Oh, so that's a different car. Oh, yeah. Fine. Did you have a T-top?
Was it? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. T-tops. Yeah. These cars are starting to get attention because they're affordable and they can be modified. And now they're starting to pick up this generation of Z. I think is going to start gaining more traction.
Yeah, that's the car. 85. I have lots of memories of that car. But yes, I had one of those. It was a great car. Awesome. Had a lot of fun on it. Brought back a lot of memories. No, I don't want to purchase one to bring back those days, but it treated me well.
And around that era as well is the Toyota Supra, which...
Yes, it was. I love the suit, and so was the wasn't the 3000 the Stealth the.
Yeah, the I think that was a little later. The Dodge Stealth and the Mitsubishi 3000 GT. Yeah. That might have been like early 90s.
It was shortly thereafter, but I remember that Supra. I thought it was a good looking car.
Yeah, that's another one. That's like it can be modified and it can be. Bought inexpensively, and yeah, so the 3000 GT was like 1990 or 91 to maybe 99, something like that. And the Dodge Stealth was like somewhere in there. I think the Stealth ended a little earlier, so it might have been like 91 to 96, and the Mitsubishi might have been like 91 to 99.
That was a cool little bit.
Yeah, I liked that car when that thing came out. I don't know if it's probably worth some money now. I don't know if it's any good, but I did. I liked that car when it came out. I think it was kind of cool. Anyway, so coming up pretty soon is Rennsport, the Porsche reunion. It's coming up at Laguna Seca. It's about a week or so from now. I want to say September 28th. September 28th through Thursday through Sunday, September 28th through October 1st. Should be a cool event. I don't know what all the debuts are going to be there, but now this Porsche news is starting to leak out. New Porsche Panamera is coming out. Now they say that's going to debut November 24th in Dubai, which I guess for that market, but if this thing isn't at Rennsport, then I'm not quite sure what's going on with Rennsport. But there's some changes to the Porsche Panamera. There's more hybrid versions. Now there's going to be four hybrid versions. I think right now there's a Panamera 4 hybrid, a 4S hybrid, and a Turbo S hybrid. And there's going to be a fourth variant that's going to be similar to what they just announced with Cayenne, which is their 729 horsepower hybrid version. So I guess a new top of the line model is going to come in there. It's got a little bit of a facelift. It's got a little bit larger batteries. I want to say the battery jumps from 17.9 kilowatts to 25.9 kilowatts. So the EV range, which was pretty short, 18 miles of range, jumps about 30 miles of range. There's a more powerful onboard charger. So when you do plug it in, instead of the 3.6 kilowatt 3.6 kilowatt charger on board was standard. There was an optional 7.2, but now you can get an 11 kilowatt. So it should charge a little bit faster. And I think the big thing is going to be some changes to the suspension as well. The suspension gets new dampers, gets dual valve. It's funny, we were talking about that on the Raptor, the 37-inch tire Raptors. They went to dual valve so they can get compression and rebound. That's Panamera's kind of taking the same thought process there. And they made some revisions to the active ride suspension and some things like that. And so I'm sure it's going to be all around a nicer, better, smoother riding car. Interesting. We got Panamera's leaning into hybrid, gas engine and hybrid, where Taycan still all electric. And I think Taycan needs some revisions because there were some real Porsche enthusiasts going, yeah, it's just not quite for me. And then it did bring in, I would say, some new customers to the Porsche brand. And the guys over at the track over here at the Porsche Experience Center in LA, the Pecla, they're like, that's the coolest car to drive on the track. But I think it just missed the mark with some hardcore enthusiasts. So we'll see what sort of revisions they're going to make on that. But honestly, like Cayenne was kind of the same thing. When the SUV came out, like, yeah, it's kind of cool. The only fun one was when it first came out, they had that truck in a manual transmission. That was cool. Going to EV, the Porsche Boxster is going to EV. And there's been some photos being leaked about that. Now, this is another car that, I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of expecting to have some sort of announcement or debut at Rennsport as well during the early press days at Rennsport. This going to all EV, it was interesting because what's making the rounds on the internet is a photo of the interior. And when you zoom in and you bust out your magnifying glass and you look at the dash on that thing, you can see the battery gauge saying something like 53% battery and 78 miles of range. Now, we don't know what they've been doing to drive it. We don't know if the software and the tuning's all been optimized. Like we can't say for sure what's going on here, but looking at that gauge and assuming everything is, you know, fairly normal, I think that gets you somewhere around 150 miles of range, which I don't know. It's kind of maybe on the low end from what I was expecting, but it's a tiny car. I don't know how much battery you can put in it. And it's meant to be a lightweight, well-balanced car, right? The Boxster is. So I just don't think you can have a Boxster weigh 6,000 pounds and expect it to be the Boxster or the Cayman anymore.
It's not having a Boxster, right? Does it not?
Yeah, right. So I don't know, kind of interesting to see how this is going to play out. Now, we know Boxster's going EV and Porsche Macan is going EV, where Panamera is going hybrid and Cayenne's going hybrid, gas engine and hybrid. Porsche Macan is going EV. Now, that you can add a little bit more weight, you can add a little bit more range, a little bit bigger battery pack. And it's kind of expected. With Boxster, I wouldn't expect it too much. If you said Boxster had 150 miles of range, but it had the performance you'd expect, I'd be like, I get it. It's a weekend warrior car. You can drive it around town. Honestly, my commute is normally about 6 miles a day, maybe 7 miles a day with running some errands. So I charge my truck maybe once a week. And that's not because the battery's dead. It's just because on Fridays I go, yeah, maybe I'm not going to come to the warehouse. I'm just going to add a little bit more range to the battery in case I need to go anyplace over the weekend. So I might be sitting at like 90 or 100 miles and I'll just, you know, charge in it for a while, get it up to, you know, 200, 230. Like I could probably drive that truck for 2 weeks and use one full battery charge, right? So I guess if you were just doing what I was doing and you had an electric Boxster, you'd be fine. Can't haul any shit in it, but you'd be fine.
<Her shoes.
laughs> Oh, by the way, when I went to Detroit Auto Show, I know we were kind of talking about this somewhat sarcastically a while back, but I was saying on your property, a kind of an off-road EV to have on the property. And at the Detroit Auto Show, I saw the Mustang Mach-E, the Rally E. And that was actually pretty cool. Like they have it set up on like the Rotiform wheels. It's got the, you know, kind of a rally style, looks very sort of Ken Block-ish, like what he was pushing, as part of his wheel partnerships. And it sits a little higher and it's got the, you know, the tires on it and it's fast as hell. And it's got some off-road capability. I was like, this is an electric go-kart for the ranch. Like I would not hesitate for a second to tell Steve Austin the same thing. I know he's got his old trucks and he's got his UTVs and he's racing those things all the time. But as a quiet on the ranch, off-road, like trail, you know, like the dirt road kind of car, I could see it. I could see it for sure. People were there looking at it going, I don't even know if I would ever use it, but it looks pretty fucking cool. And so I'm curious to, like, I want someone to drive it. I'd love to drive it, but I want someone to like drive it on the dirt. And have I'm not saying it's going to go rock climbing.
Have them send me one. I'll drive it on the dirt and then some.
It needs that. It does need that. But all right. So the last thing I want to touch on, and this is kind of bittersweet, I guess, but Ford announced a Ford Ranger plug-in hybrid with the success of the Maverick hybrid, which the Maverick hybrid right now, I think, is the least expensive hybrid vehicle you can buy. I can't think of off the top of my head. I could be wrong, but I can't think of the top of my head of something that's a better priced vehicle, especially with how much good its fuel economy is. So Ford's like, hey, we've got Ranger hybrid. And it looks cool and it makes sense, but it's not going to come to the US. And when people asked Ford, whatever, during their press announcement, they asked Ford, Ford said, we feel like we've got it covered. Like we've got Maverick hybrid, we've got F-150 hybrid, and we have a Ranger in the middle, and we have gas engine variants of everything. I guess they felt like they just didn't need it. It might cut into the sales of either F-150 or Maverick. But also keep in mind that we lost these mid-sized trucks for quite some time, other than like Tacoma, because people weren't buying them. And now they're getting attention because F-150s and Rams and Silverados have gotten so large. But here in the US, we still like huge vehicles. So I know Ford's thing is they say Ford F-Series is the best-selling vehicle for, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever the hell the number is now. Now, the trickery around that is they don't say F-150. They say F-Series, which means F-250s, F-350s, 450s. The F-Series pickup truck, all-inclusive, is the best-selling vehicle, which makes sense. And they want the F-150 hybrid to be a much bigger portion of the current sales. I want to say F-150 hybrid is about 10% of F-150 sales. And they want it to be much larger, like 30%. So they've been making a lot of improvements. When we just came back from Detroit, all the improvements to F-150 hybrid, one being better pricing. It's basically the same price as the gas engine vehicle. And the improvements they've made to the powertrain and to the vehicle in general. They want F-150 hybrid to be better. And honestly, it kind of makes the most sense. Unless you're hot rodding the vehicle or doing like a supercharger and you want the 5-liter, like F-150 hybrid with the power boost, because you get the onboard battery and you can power your campsite and you get the hybrid fuel economy and you can, you know, plug everything in. So it's kind of the best of everything. You know, you won't run out of charge like a Lightning, but you'll get way better gas mileage than the 5-liter. So, and it still tows and does all the stuff. So I think if they had Ranger hybrid, it would cut into the sales of both F-150 hybrid and Maverick hybrid. Probably more F-150 hybrid sales than it would Maverick sales.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the thought on why they're not doing that. However, we will get Ranger Raptor, as we talked about. So I don't think we're going to get Maverick Raptor.
Not as enough.
Although I don't know that we need it, because you've got Mach-E Rally, and now you've got Ranger Raptor and Bronco Raptor and F-150 Raptor and Raptor R.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with choices.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to. Yeah. It's a four.
All right, listen, we're going to have to cut it off here. I've got to jump to another thing, and I know you do as well. More building on the garage. Get that kitchen in there.
Getting the kitchen in there and filming tomorrow's episode. The 217 carbon fiber 6-speed Dodge Challenger built by Gearhead Fabrications and Speedcore. So we're going to go melt some tires.
So you're going to film that for the YouTube channel. This is going to be part of like just focusing on one car. You can do the walk.
Yeah, filming it for tomorrow. Your wonderful idea of compiling a build video is going to turn into two build videos, considering there's about 800 videos that I've shot throughout the 3-year period of time. So we're not going to bastardize it and try to encompass it into one. We're going to do a couple episodes with it. It's going to take us a lot of time to edit it, but in the meantime, we'll get the Carbon Challenger out there.
I want to see the cars, and I do want to see sort of the breakdown of the garage, like you said. Maybe do a few videos, like show me the wash bay, show me the gym, show me the kitchen, and I know you're still getting things kind of outfitted and getting tools in the right places, and as you said, getting some more of the kitchen actually installed. A few things like that for sure.
It's right outside the door.
All right. Well, before it gets too hot or too cold or whatever the hell is going on over there, go take care of that. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you listening. Drink Bravago is the website. Go buy yourself some Bravago. Get yourself a hat or a shirt while you're up there. We appreciate it. And Goldberg's Garage. Check them out on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Go check it out, or I'll kill you.
Thanks, guys. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
And your foot on the floor. Be good.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.